Somebody gave me a little clip years ago, and I just came across it this week, and I'd like to share it with you all this morning in the beginning. It's titled, A Father's Prayer. Last night, my little boy confessed to me some childish wrong, and kneeling at my knee, he prayed with tears, Dear God, make me a man like Daddy. Wise and strong, I know you can. Then while the little boy slept, I knelt beside his bed, confessed my sins, and prayed with a low bowed head. O God, our Father, make me a child like my child here, pure, open, trusting thee with faith sincere. That's a beautiful prayer, isn't it? And the truth is that we are all God's children. He is our heavenly Father. Now, being an earthly father, I think, is one of the most responsible jobs anybody will ever have in this world. If all the fathers in America were doing their part, our country would be a lot better off than it is today. We have a lot of absentee fathers. But I want to say this morning that our Heavenly Father is not absent. He's on the job. And you can count on Him. And it doesn't matter how old you are this morning, you still need your Heavenly Father. Just as Brother Franklin has prayed to our Father in heaven this morning. And I want to say this morning in the beginning, if there was anything that you and I had to do in order to go to heaven, I don't know why God would have called us His children. What did you all do to be the children of your earthly parents? Now that's a simple question. You didn't do anything to be the child of your mom and dad. That was something you had nothing to do with. And if you're one of God's children, I can tell you, you had nothing to do with being His child. It was like the song we just sung. It was by grace. Grace is free. And we are God's children by His amazing grace. Now, if God had expected us to do something in order to be in His family or to go to heaven, He would have told us in the Scriptures. He calls on us to be His disciples, and you and I ought to choose to be His disciples today. A disciple is a follower, but being a disciple is a lot different than being a child. A lot of children don't follow their parents. They're not obedient. A lot of God's children are not following Him, sadly. But let me tell you, He calls us His children, and He refers to Himself as our Father. So if we're going to heaven, it's all because of what He has done. Now, this morning, I want to call your attention to Matthew Chapter 6. And let's begin in verse 9. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, where Jesus is going to be teaching us how to pray. How many of y'all pray? I hope you all pray every day. Right now, with this dry weather here in Georgia, I'm sure a lot of farmers are praying daily that God will send rain. We know where the rain comes from. We ought to be praying for the rain. We ought to all be praying that God would send the rain in due season. Prayer should be a part of our daily lives. And why do we pray? Because our Father is in heaven. Our home is in heaven. And if you're going to heaven, if heaven is your home, you ought to be calling home, right? How many parents in the house today whose children have moved off love it when your children call you? I do. I got some very sweet texts this morning from my children. How many of you as parents today appreciate it when your children call home and stay in touch? Well, our Heavenly Father appreciates it when you and I call home. And how do we call home? Not with our cell phones. We call home through prayer. And Jesus is going to be teaching us how to pray. And he begins by saying, "Our Father." Now he's God. He's the creator of the universe. He made it all. He's sovereign. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He is holy. He's all of that. But more than all of that, he is our Father. Our Father. Jesus taught us to pray. He didn't teach us to pray, "Now God, I want to be your child, so would you make me your child." He didn't teach us to pray like that. He taught us to pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven." So heaven is our home, and we're on our way there. How many of you in the house today understand that you're not going to live in this world forever? We're just passing through. We are pilgrims and strangers on this earth. The Bible teaches that. A stranger is somebody away from home. A pilgrim is somebody on his way home. And I'm a pilgrim and a stranger. I love America, but I want to tell you, this is not my final home. Heaven is our home, where our Father is. Jesus taught us in John 14, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." I'm telling you, I'm looking forward to going home. And since we're not at home, we need to be calling home. We need to be praying to our Heavenly Father. How many of y'all really get it this morning that God is your Father? He loves you far more than your earthly fathers ever loved you. And he wants to hear from us. He wants us talking to him. And so Jesus teaches us to pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Beloved, if you want some real peace and tranquility in your life, you just keep your mind on your Heavenly Father. Do y'all ever feel like you're just coming apart? I mean, life is so stressful and so many problems, you just feel like you're coming apart. Well, you know, we sung that song this morning, "Great is thy faithfulness." Our Heavenly Father is keeping the universe together. He's keeping the stars, the sun, the moon, the planets, the earth. He's keeping it all together. Are y'all helping him? No. He does it right by himself. Now, if God can keep the universe together, I think he can keep me together. And if you've fallen apart, you probably just need to spend more time with your Heavenly Father. I'll say amen to that. I thought I'd have got an amen out of that statement, but I want to tell you, I'll say amen. If you want more peace in your life, just spend more time talking to your Heavenly Father. Oh, how wonderful that would be. So Jesus says, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Now, this morning my heart is burdened with verse 11, Matthew 6 and 11. And I'd like to spend the rest of our time on this verse. Give us this day our daily bread. I appreciated what Franklin said in his prayer this morning. He said, before we ask for anything, we want to give thanks for what we've already got. Would y'all agree with that? We got so many blessings, they're innumerable. I mean, the song says, count your many blessings, name them one by one. And a while back in my notebook, I started writing down all my blessings. And I mentioned God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, first of all. And I mentioned my church family. And I mentioned my wife and my children and grandchildren. I thank God for America, for being a citizen of this country. And I filled up a whole page, and I realized I had just gotten started. I mean, count your many blessings, name them one by one. But we still stand in need of things today, don't we? And Jesus teaches us here in verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. Oh, I love that. Give us this day our daily bread. Notice the first word in that scripture, give. Did you know God is a great giver? He gives and He gives and He just keeps on giving. Every breath of air I breathe today, you know where it came from? From my Heavenly Father. You know where the sunshine comes from? And aren't y'all glad it's not going to be as hot today as it was yesterday? Somebody said that was a great Father's gift to all of us. God sends the sunshine. He sends the rain. He just gives and gives and gives, and He just keeps on giving. But we are given permission in this scripture to ask God for the things that we need. Give us this day our daily bread. I'm glad our Heavenly Father has given us permission to ask Him to give us things that we need in this life. Give us this day our daily bread. Beloved, it is not wrong for you and me to ask God for the things we need in this life. Give us this day our daily bread. And I think the word bread there would be symbolic of anything that you need in this life. Bread is something we need. Food is something we need on a daily basis. But if you need a better car to drive in order to get to work, I believe the Bible gives us permission to ask God for a better car. If you need a better house for your family to live in, if you need a better school for your children to go to, if you need better clothes, if you need better health, the Bible gives us permission to ask God for what we need in this life. Now, we're not to go around asking Him to make us rich, you know, and richer than everybody else. That's not scriptural. But when we ask for bread, that's a necessity. Now, I want to notice with you all this morning an interesting thought that I've had concerning this verse. I hope it'll bless you. Jesus taught us to pray, and give us this day our daily bread. Why didn't He give us permission to ask for our yearly bread? God, would you just give me enough bread to last me for a year or for a month? You know why I think He taught us to ask for our daily bread on a daily basis? Because He wants to hear from us every day. He doesn't want us to forget about Him for a year. He wants us coming to His throne, asking for our needs on a daily basis. How many of you who have children this morning pray for those children and your grandchildren? I do. I'm constantly asking God to watch over them. And I'm telling you, He hears your prayer as a mom or a dad or as a grandparent. Somebody sent me a text today and said, you know, having children is wonderful because that's the way you get grandchildren. You know, that's kind of neat, isn't it? If y'all don't have any grandkids yet, just wait. Let me tell you, that's going to move you into a higher orbit. Having kids is wonderful. Having grandkids is, it's just beyond wonderful. I mean, how do you express that? And God just keeps on giving in a wonderful way in this world. So, beloved, He gives us permission to ask for what we need. Ask Him to keep our children safe. We have every right to read these prayer requests here at church on the Lord's Day. And by the way, if your name is not on a prayer list, you ought to be thanking God, because I've been on prayer lists. I know what it is to be sick and wondering if you're going to live. Oh, brothers, it's wonderful when the church is praying for you. And we have a scriptural obligation and right to pray for those that ask us to pray for them. And when somebody asks you to pray for them, don't say, I'll do it. Just do it right then. You say, I don't have time. All you got to do is say, Lord, help them. I mean, how long does that take? 1 second? He hears it. You don't even have to say it audibly. Did you know your Heavenly Father can read your mind? He knows what's in your heart. All you've got to say is, Father, bless this individual. And I've got to where when people ask me to pray for them when I'm on the phone, I just pray for them right then and there audibly. I say, can we pray together? And you know, I found out that I don't forget it that way. See, if I tell y'all I'll pray for you, I may forget it. But if I do it right when you ask for it, I can. So we have every right and obligation to pray for the sick and to pray for the bereaved. I know all of you heard about the awful shooting in Vestavia Hills where Nelda and I lived for 16 years. It was a church shooting. Three elderly people shot in cold blood this week at a potluck supper. And my heart is grieved for those elderly people and their church family and their families. We ought to be praying for them. How many of y'all pray for America? Our country is in big trouble. I sent a text out the other day saying God is our refuge and a present help in time of trouble. And a pastor sent me back a text and said, we are in trouble. As a nation, we are in trouble. But I know somebody that can help. What about y'all? Do y'all know somebody that can really help? The government can't. You know, the only thing the government can give you is something they took from somebody else. The government is not in business. They don't manufacture anything. They're not producing anything. The only thing the government can give any of us is what they took out of somebody else's pocket. But I'm talking to y'all about a God today who can bless us in marvelous ways. I remember Him feeding an old prophet named Elijah. He went to a widow's house and asked her to bake him a little cake, a little piece of bread, and she didn't have just enough meal and enough oil left to cook him one, but she did it. And you know what? An amazing miracle took place. The oil never ran out in that cruise, and the meal never ran out in that barrel. God provided. We're talking about a Heavenly Father this morning who is still working miracles. Nelda asked me this morning or last night about that song, My Faith Looks Up to Thee. Where is your faith looking up to today? To the government? To some feeble hand? No, beloved, we've got a God in heaven who cares for us. You ever doubt His care? Just look to Calvary. And see what He gave on that cross for you and me. He gave His only Son so that you and I could go to heaven. So when Jesus gives us permission to ask, I'm going to take advantage of it. I don't hesitate to ask God. Not that I deserve it, because He loves me and He's able to provide. And I want to encourage everybody in the house today to live in that kind of faith. And see, your faith in God will produce a hope inside of you. Faith, hope, charity. How many could live without hope? You know, they say you can live 40 days without food, 4 days without water. I was challenged the other day by that statement by my grandson, Samuel. He said, you can't live 4 days without water, Granddaddy. You can only live 2 days. I Googled it. And Google, Mr. Google said, you can live 3 days without water. He said, okay, we both got it right. I don't know just how long you can live without water, but you can't live nearly as long without water as you can without food. You can live without food 40 days. Without water, 3 days. Without oxygen, about 4 minutes. But you know how long you can live without hope? I'm telling you, hopelessness is the darkest place a human being can be on this earth. I read recently about an experiment these scientists were doing with rats, and they would put them in water where they had to swim, and the rats would swim for an hour, and after swimming an hour, they would be exhausted, and they just gave up and drowned. But right before they drowned, the scientists would take them out of the water and set them aside. And then they'd run that same experiment. And you know how long the rats could swim? 24 hours. You know why? Because now, instinctively, they had hope that somebody would come and rescue me. How many of y'all are living in hopes today? Come on, folks. I tell you, there's a God in glory, and my hope is in Him. And my faith in Him produces this wonderful hope inside of me. I tell you, we've got a glorious Heavenly Father, hadn't we? Goodness, we do. And the more we have faith in Him, the more our hope is going to be that He can work things out for us in this world and take care of us. And we can ask Him for food and for a house and car and clothes and schools for our children, for protection. We can ask Him for forgiveness. I want to encourage you all today to know this. Now, I want to go back in the Old Testament just a moment to the book of Proverbs and look at a beautiful expression that is given to us in Proverbs chapter 30. And the wise man is saying this. He's praying to God in chapter 30 of Proverbs and verse 8. Remove far from me vanity and lies. That's a good prayer. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. Proverbs is teaching us to ask God not to make us rich, but not to let us be poor. Because if you get rich enough, you can forget God. You can think, I've got it made. Be like the rich man in the Gospels when he said, you know, I've got goods laid up for many years. You remember that? He had a big crop, and his barns were so small they wouldn't hold the new crop. So he tore those old barns down, and he built bigger barns. And you know what he said? He said, soul, take thine ease. Thou hast goods laid up for many years. And that night, after this rich man had probably had a filet mignon, baked potato with all the trimmings, magnificent dessert, he went to bed. And he started feeling something in his chest he'd never felt before. A heart attack was coming. Gone. God said, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Don't ever get the attitude, you got so much laid up you don't need God. Please, are y'all with me tonight, today? I don't want to be so rich I'd forget God, but I don't want to be so poor that I'd have to steal for bread. That's a good prayer that Solomon is teaching us to pray. Listen to it again. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Just forgot him. Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. I want to tell you, our God can feed us. He can take care of us. How many of y'all understand that? I remember the poor widow was asking God one day on her porch if God would send her some food. She was hungry. And her neighbor, who was an atheist, went to the store, bought some food, and brought it and left it on her front porch. And when she went out and found it, she just started praising God. And the atheist jumped out from behind a bush and said, God didn't send that to you. I bought it and brought it over here. And you know what she said? She said, well, the devil may have delivered it, but God sent it. How many of y'all understand your Heavenly Father? You're right there in His hand. You're in the palm of His hand. I tell you, that's a good feeling, isn't it? To know that. Now, Satan doesn't want you to have that kind of peace. He wants to rob you of the peace and joy you could have in staying close to your Heavenly Father. Satan is a thief. He's a liar. You can't trust him in any way. And when y'all start complaining and murmuring, you're letting the devil win. But when you start praising God and trusting Him, oh, it's wonderful. Now, I want to close this morning with bringing you over to Luke chapter 11. I want to notice with you in this chapter where Jesus is teaching about prayer. He says, in verse, let's see, Luke chapter 11, verse 9, and I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened to you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will the father offer him a scorpion? Now Jesus says, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, listen now, y'all stay tuned. I'm preaching to me this morning. You know, most preachers preach to themselves first. Y'all just eavesdrop. See, I need everything I've been preaching this morning. I need it personally. Don't think I'm up here as a judge looking down on y'all. I'm in there with you, brother. I'm struggling always against the devil, the world, the flesh. But I'm preaching to me this morning, and I want y'all to get it, too. Listen to what he says. How much more? Boy, that's a sermon. How much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Jesus says, your Heavenly Father, who is a good Father, will give you the Holy Spirit if you ask for it. Now I want to close this morning thinking about the Holy Spirit. What does it mean when God gives us the Holy Spirit? Let's come over to Ephesians chapter 5, where Paul is teaching the church at Ephesus in verse 18, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. See, a lot of people, when they get in trouble down here, they turn to alcohol, they turn to drugs, some kind of escape to deal with their anxiety, their trouble, their problems, their heartaches. And all drugs and alcohol will do is make life worse. There's no problem on this earth that drugs and alcohol can't make worse. Are y'all with me? I've seen it. I've seen it up close and personal. I've seen people ruin their lives with alcohol and drugs. Paul is saying there's a better way to deal with life's struggles. You know what it is? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be not drunk with wine. Now, he isn't saying you can't have a glass of wine with a spaghetti dinner. As long as you don't come under the influence of the wine and the wine takes over. See, he says, be not drunk with wine. What does it mean to be drunk with wine? It means you're under the influence of the wine. You can't walk straight. You can tell a man that's drunk, he wiggles and walk, you know, he just can't walk straight. He doesn't talk. I remember a man one time I was around him. He was lit. I mean, he was happy. He was a happy fella. He was high. And he won't know if I needed anything. I mean, he was ready to give me anything he had. He was happy. Well, when he sobered up, he won't know if he could have something. Drunk people, you got to watch them. I want to tell you, alcohol and drugs are dangerous. But if you're under the influence, it affects your mind, your thinking, your speech, your walk. But when you're full of the Holy Spirit, you know what happens? The Holy Spirit begins to affect the way you talk and the way you think and the way you walk. If a man is full of anger, did you know that anger will control him? If a man is full of greed, that greed will control him. It'll take over his life. But if you're full of the Holy Spirit, what are the evidences that somebody is full of the Holy Spirit? Well, Paul gives it to us in verse 19. When somebody is full of the Holy Spirit, they begin to speak to themselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Do you love to be around people that want to sing instead of complain? I do. You know why we get over here at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning? We get over here to sing. And you know why we're singing? Speaking to one another, teaching one another. Boy, I love that song. Great is thy faithfulness. I love grace is free. I love my faith looks up to thee. I love amazing grace. I love our Father cares. I love how great thou art. I love the song, how beautiful heaven must be. Y'all ever sing and just speak to yourselves in the songs and they just bless you? See, singing is important in worship. It's not for the Johnny come latelys. I've told you all about an old deacon at Vestavia. He said, Brother Sam, there's two songs I want to hear, the first one and the last one. Uh-oh, I stepped on somebody's toe. Y'all need to come on over here and get here early. And you know what? We'll let you select songs. And I love it when these children select songs, don't y'all? That just lets me know they're plugged in. They're part of the worship. I don't care how old they are, 5, 6, 7, if they got a song that they want us to sing, let's sing it to the glory of God. And see, when you're full of the Holy Spirit, you want to sing. You don't have a face as long as a mule. Let me tell you, then notice a second evidence of somebody full of the Holy Spirit. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody full of the Holy Spirit is just giving thanks always. Nelda and I have friends in Tennessee that we love to visit, and at the back door there's a sign, Father, you've given us so many things. One more thing, give us a grateful heart. How many of y'all have a grateful heart? Instead of wanting more and more and more and more and more, you're just blessed. See, if you got a hope of going to heaven, you're blessed out of this world. Do y'all know what a blessing that is, to have a hope? When you die, that's not the end. That cemetery out there is just a motel. Our loved ones just sleeping. That's all they're doing. And one morning they're going to wake up when Jesus comes back. That's my hope. What's your hope? And then here's a third evidence of a Spirit-filled life. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. See, Spirit-filled people find it easy to submit themselves to other folks. In other words, then saying, not my will, but let's do it your way. How many of y'all full of the Spirit this morning? And then he goes on to tell us about families. Wives and husbands can get along together when they're full of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, a couple that's having marital problems, you know what they need? Probably they don't need marital counseling as much as they need to ask the Father to fill them with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, how much more will your Father give you the Holy Spirit when you ask? Let's join in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we acknowledge this morning that you're our Father in glory, and we're so thankful that we're your children by grace alone. But we need the Holy Spirit as we continue our journey through this world. Would you fill us with the Spirit, Father, that it might control our thoughts, our words, our actions, our behavior. Bless each one here today in this congregation to be filled with the Spirit. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.